Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come in this morning, thank you, Lord, for the call to prayer. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone that's here with us today, you will understand the urgency of the call always to prayer. Thank you, Father. Put upon us, Lord, that spirit of prayer and the spirit of intercession also for others. And Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word always gives light and brings understanding into our hearts. In Jesus' name, so let it be. Amen and amen. Well, first of all, I want to say that, you know, the Bible encourages us to always pray and not to faint. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 18, and we see that he was talking about, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint means not to give up. Always to pray means always. You know, but unfortunately, we don't do that. We don't always pray. You know, sometimes when things are going well, you know, we forget, you know, to pray. And then the devil, you know, comes in, you know, when you are off guard, and then he strikes. Yeah, because he's like a viper, always waiting to strike. And he's got that venom. It's so poisonous. And he can strike when no one is looking. You know, so we got to always have our spiritual senses up. We got to always pray. And here's what the Lord said also. You know, we're coming back to that Luke 18. But in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 62, the Lord even encourages us, you know, not to give in and not to give up when we are trusting and praying, trusting the Lord for something and praying unto him for whatever it is that we are believing God for. But I'm going to go beyond that a little bit today. But first, let me read this to you. Isaiah 62 and verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, night nor day. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, let's personalize that. What is it that we are believing God for? It could be for yourself, it could be for your family, it could be for your children. And when we stand in the gap, the Bible says right here, don't give the Lord any rest until he establish that thing that we're believing God for. Jesus told multiple stories like that. In fact, in that Luke chapter 18 and other places, he told multiple stories. Yeah, the one I really like is the woman that was always going to the judge and asking for something, you know, that was in the city a judge, which feared not God, Jesus said, neither regarded man. And that was in that same city a widow which came to him and saying, avenge me of my adversary. So she's asking for something. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, although I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, or continues to trouble me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now the Lord said, hear now what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, even though he be along with them? So the lesson in this story, as with others, you know, also, is that the Lord is telling us that, look, when you are in prayer, don't give in and don't give up. And you stay right there. Don't give the Lord any rest, we're told, until he establish and until he bring forth that thing that we are believing God for. And sometimes, even when, I'm going to give up just a few examples of people who knew how to pray, even though the Lord already promised, even though they know they already had the victory. The greatest example is Christ himself. I mean, we've been talking about God doesn't do anything or start anything until he first finishes it. The work that Christ came to do was already finished even before the world began. So we're told that the Lamb was slain before the world began. So we know that. But yet, you know, Christ, every day, you know, getting up early and going to the mountain to pray, disciples waking up looking for him. you know, and he was always, always praying. I mean, even though he knew it was already done, he was always praying. And we see here in the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 22, one time when Jesus was really praying and agonizing for that pearl of great price, and he had to get it, you know, and he was really praying, and he was praying also against the flesh that was saying, well, he got to be separated from the Father, you know, and so forth. I mean, he was in between two opinions there, but in his spirit, he said, well, nevertheless, let thy will be done. And he was praying. And we're told here that he began to pray. He prayed and prayed and prayed. He was in agony until, you know, great sweat. I mean, sweat was coming out as great drops of blood from his forehead to the ground. I mean, that's some prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, that is some prayer. Being in agony, Luke 22 and verse 44, he prayed the more earnestly. We're talking about earnest prayer here. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, and in the meantime, he had invited the disciples, you know, the ones he took with him. He didn't take every one of them. But, you know, he took a, you know, couple of them, Peter, James, and John. He used to take them here and there, you know, and he asked them to pray. I mean, all disciples were with him, but he took, you know, those three and went a little deeper, you know, into the garden to pray, but they wouldn't do it. And they were sleeping. And Jesus was telling them, look, this is not the time for you to sleep. This is the time for you to pray. Pray that you enter not into temptation. But they slept. And he went away, you know, this story is in other places as well. You put all the stories together. He went away and came back, and they were still praying. And he went and did that about two or three times, you know. And finally he said to them, look, well, you know, sleep on now because it is time, you know. And if they would have gotten in prayer with the Lord, instead of taking him 3 hours, you can't watch with me just 1 hour. He went away, came back, went away, came back. You know, might have taken him maybe just the hour if they had gotten in and prayed. But they didn't pray. Well, you know, but, you know, more importantly, when the enemy was waiting around the corner to strike, there are guards who are let down. And even the one that bragged and said, everybody else may deny you, but I'll never do that. Well, he did too, because he didn't pray. And God always, you know, the Lord always invited us to pray, 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 you know. And so today we are going to pray. Here's another man who, you know, we are told in the book of James that he knew how to pray fervently. I mean, his name was Elijah. Elijah had a promise of rain. He knew the rain was coming. But when he sent Ahab to go up and eat and drink, he himself did not go up to eat and drink. In fact, he went up to pray. And despite the fact that he already had the promise of God, that rain, the abundance of rain was coming, you know, he wasn't going to take any chances. He was going to pray that thing through until he came, just like Jesus. Jesus already knew that it was done, but yet he had to pray through. Elijah knew the rain was coming, but yet he had to pray through. You know, sometimes we fold our arms, you know, just because the Lord, you know, we know, well, the Lord's given us victory, or he starts, you know, to show us a little victory, then we fold our arms. The devil never folds his arms. As a matter of fact, you know, when the devil comes in, even if you defeat him, and even in the case of Jesus, the Bible says he departed for a while. You know, he would depart for a while and he'd come back again. You know, he'll always looking, you know, for, you know, an opening to strike. You know, that means we must always have our spiritual senses up. We must always be prayerful. Now, there are some things that we're going to pray for and against this morning. And there are some things that we're going to pray, you know, to bring upon ourselves the goodness of God, the protection of God. We're going to pray against certain things. We're going to pray. The enemy is waiting to strike and he's closing in on your territory, maybe closing in on your children or your grandchildren or whatever it is, you know, and we got to pray. And even, you know, we got to pray for ourselves, you know, that we will be in the right place at the right time, you know, to receive what God is saying. And we never want to also be in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. So, you know, people ought always to pray, you know, and I believe that if we prayed more, you know, evil happens during the day, you know. Ecclesiastes says, well, you know, these things happen to everybody, you know, but I believe that if we prayed more, you know, we would avoid many pitfalls or even many things that the enemy is bringing. The more we pray, the greater the chances are that the Lord will keep us from evil. Because this was the prayer that Jesus asked the disciples, you know, taught them to pray. Pray that the Lord deliver you from temptation. He himself prayed for us in John 17, said, neither pray I that the Lord should take them from the world. He said, but keep them from the evil. Keep them from the wicked one. You know, so this is a prayer that we need to pray. You know, and there are people that are hurting around the world. There are people in our families, in our communities, you know, and our churches, you know, and so forth, that are hurting. And they, some of them are about to give up. You know, they are holding on, you know, I mean, maybe not even holding on. You know, this is just almost giving up. You know, that prayer can strengthen these things. You know, prayer can bring, and we know these things, but why then don't we do it enough? You know, so one of the reasons occasionally I would bring, this room is intended to be a teaching room, but occasionally we'll go into prayers, because without prayers, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, what we do, everything is going to fall apart. And Jesus demonstrated that, you know, praying all the time, early in the morning, getting up to pray, and so on and so forth. And we've seen that people that don't pray, you know, if we don't pray, then we are powerless. Some people say a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Well, you know, how would we know? Why would we not even be more prayerful? You know, one of the reasons is there's so many distractions that the devil will bring to, you know, attack our prayer lives. You know, once he gets your prayer life, you're finished. Because that's the thing he wants to get. Sometimes he'll bring aggravation so you don't pray. Sometimes he'll bring, you know, all kinds of things, you know, burdens and so forth, you know, and you just won't have time to pray, to get close to the Lord. He's a master at this thing. He's a master of deception. You know, he knows all the various things. Well, we need to be a master too at our, you know, in our own right. You know, the devil can't, you know, we can't allow the devil to have a field day. We need to pray. You know, so I am going to, in a few minutes, turn this thing into a prayer session. But first, I want you to know that it is important when we pray, get a hold of the promises of God. You know, we should not just be praying and just praying. You know, no, that's not how it works. Get a hold of the promise of God for, you know, that relates to the thing that you're praying about. And then we speak back his word to him. It is the word of God that changes things. And so, but when we get into the habit of praying more and using our praises and our thanksgiving, wrapping all of that up, pray without ceasing. And that's the one thing that is actually possible. If it weren't possible, the Bible wouldn't ask us to do it. Especially if you can pray in the spirit. I mean, you can be praying in the spirit even while you're doing other things. You know, you should be praying or be in a prayerful mode all the time. Prayer connects us and, you know, with the spirit of God. It puts us in connection. You know, and sometimes, you know, just like electronic equipment and so forth, your phone, every one of us has one in our hands probably right now, you know. So, you know, if that thing goes long enough without being plugged in, it's going to die. you know, eventually, and you get some warning that, you know, you're down to 15%, 10% or whatever on the battery. And if you don't plug that thing in, it goes from green, it starts to go amber and then red. And then the next thing, you know, the thing dies, you know. So prayer is what plugs us in, gets us plugged in. Now, these are basic things which people know. There's no great mystery that we are speaking here, but we need to practice it. Practice prayer more often. You know, most of the time when you hear people say, you know, something, you know, that happened and so forth, we find that there was something missing. An element of fervent prayer was missing. Now, I want to take a few minutes to emphasize on the fervency and effectual prayer, not just, you know, some quick prayer. Sometimes you do quick prayer, and you know, sometimes, you know, but, you know, we're talking about fervent, effectual prayer. I mean, there was a time Nehemiah was standing before the king, and he was the king's cupbearer. And, you know, his face was sad. And the king said, "Why are you looking sad?" And he said, "Well, why would I not be sad? You know, because the land of my nativity lies in ruins." Now, you can't, as the cupbearer of the king, be sad. You know, you could lose your life. You can't do that because you're the one supposed to cheer him up. And so the king asked him, "What would you have me do? What is it that you're asking?" And he said, "I pray to the God of heaven." Now, that was a quick prayer. That wasn't, he didn't have to go home and lock himself up in the closet and pray. You know, he had to pray right there on the spot. You know, maybe he just said in his mind, "Lord, help me. You know, God, help me to say the right words." It was a quick prayer. Well, you know, quick prayers, you know, don't always work all the time. There's times when it works, but there are times when we got to grind in prayer. We got to grind in. Jesus grounded in prayer until blood was coming out of his forehead. I've often wondered, I mean, why did the Lord have to pray like that? I mean, he already knew he got this thing wrapped up, but yet he had to pray. Elijah knew that he got this thing wrapped up because the Lord told him he was coming, but yet he had to pray fervently. And he didn't give up. Sent his servant to go check it out. The man said there is nothing. He did that again, went back and prayed some more. Put his head between his knees and agonized in prayer. And said, "Lord, you said the rain was coming. Where is it? The heavens are still brass. Let the heavens open up." And he began to pray. Sent his servant to check it again, said, "There's nothing." And he went back to pray some more, you know. And we don't know how long between those go check it out that he prayed, but I believe it was agonizing prayer each time. And then finally, you know, it was a little breakthrough. And once he saw the breakthrough, then he knew he got it. But, you know, initially, the heavens were brass. You know, so the same, you know, it's a lesson for us in persistent prayer, unyielding prayer. You know, now some people think, you know, because of trying to, you know, balance prayer and faith, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes I've heard people say, "Well, you know, you already prayed. You know, why should you pray again? Just believe God." You know, that's good if you know how to do it. But Jesus said, man ought always to pray and not to give up. You know, but the way we do the prayer, please, we mingle it with thanksgiving. According to the book of Philippians chapter 4, it says, look, in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, and what happens next? Well, the peace of God passes understanding, keep your minds, hearts at rest. You got to pray until you have peace about that thing. When you're praying and you don't have peace about that thing, keep praying. Hallelujah. You know, and then when you have peace about that thing, you know, begin to praise the Lord for it. Begin to thank him for it and so on. But we got to pray. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will be moving you. You just feel a heaviness. Anytime we feel a heaviness, it's a time to switch it into praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is the antidote for heaviness. You know, depression and all of these things, the antidote for it is prayer. You know, where it's, you know, the scriptures clearly give us the prescriptions, which if we followed it right, it'll be well with us. You know, if any man is sad, you know, this is what the book of James says. If you are grieved, if you are sad, if you are troubled, you know, if you have issues, you know, well, then you should pray. Listen to this. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you afflicted? Let him pray. See, that's the prescription. If any man merry, let him sing songs. But what do people do today when they are afflicted, when they are troubled, when their soul is famished, you know, when they feel lonely? And so what do? Do they pray? Most of the time they don't. They will turn to something other than prayer. You know, some people will look for other outlets. Some of them here in America, I've seen it on TV. You know, they go grab a big gallon of chocolate ice cream as if that's going to help them. You know, the Bible says, pray. You know, chocolate ice cream is not going to help you. That's not the time for that. Pray. You know, even your friend is not going to help you at that time. If you are afflicted, pray. You know, don't get on social media. Don't get ice cream. Don't do any of these things. It is time to pray. Now, if you are married, of course, you sing psalms, you rejoice and so forth. If you are sick, call for the elders of the church. You know, these are, you know, prescriptions that God gave and so on and so forth. And then he told us, look, you know, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Verse 17 of James chapter 5. And he prayed earnestly. You know, that this earnestly part means, look, it's not a wishy-washy prayer. It's not a drive-through kind of prayer. You know, it's a prayer. He got down and he got a hold of God and he wasn't going to turn loose. There was another man called Jacob in the Bible. You know, he got hold of the angel of the Lord one time and he was not going to turn loose. And he said, look, nobody is going anywhere today until you bless me. You know, now that you can read that story in Genesis 32, but I'm not going to read it, but it's there. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he was not going to turn loose. It took him all night, but he was not going to turn loose. And he said, look, you're going to bless me or nobody's going anywhere. My goodness. And finally, the voice of the Lord said to him, you have power with God as a prince. So your name will no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel. You know, now, can we pray that kind of prayer that doesn't turn loose? You know, when you get into prayer, don't turn loose. Be unyielding and stay right there until God, you know, some people say push is means pray until something happens, you know. So you stay there with the Lord, you know. I say pray, you know, you got to pray. Pray, keep praying until you have peace on that matter. Because, and then suddenly, the peace of God passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds, you know. And, you know, when we're praying for our children, you know, find the promises of God. You know, some of these children are wayward, you know, they've gone away from the presence of the Lord. Might be your children, might be your grandchildren. You know, get a hold of the promises of God, you know, and tell the Lord, you said that they will come back, you know, from the land of the enemy. So get a hold of the Lord. You know, you can read that in Jeremiah 31, verse 16 and 17. You know, he said, look, your walk over these children shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. You know, it was a place where they were brought up, but they wandered away from the house of prayer. Well, you stand right there in prayer and you get a hold of God, and my goodness, there is reward for it. Let me quickly give us a few examples in the scriptures, and then a few more examples, and then we are going to pray. Some people that led a life of prayer. They were always, you know, praying and always trusting the Lord and always in God's presence with prayer. And there were benefits to it. In the book of Luke chapter 2, two stories of, you know, one called Simeon, who was always praying, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then more particularly, you know, there was also this woman that was called Anna, and she herself, you know, praying. She was a widow, but she prayed, you know, all the time. You can read that in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. She was praying. She was a woman of great age. And, you know, at that time, you know, about 84 years old and so forth. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. You know, and the Lord eventually rewarded her. I saw the salvation of the Lord when they brought in the little baby Jesus. You know, there was a man called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. This man, even though he didn't know the Lord too much, you know, the little that he knew, he prayed. You know, he prayed, he served God. I mean, he did some good works, also helped people and everything and so forth, but he prayed. You know, here's how the Bible described him. You know, it says that this man, Cornelius, and you know, if you don't know the story, an interesting story, you can read it. But, you know, I will paraphrase the story. This man, Cornelius, was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. You know, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And which gave much alms to the people. So he was doing, you know, good works and so forth. And prayed to God always. Prayed to God always. And then one day, the Lord will reward that. You know, so this prayer, you know, that we do, we should never, I mean, think of it as, you know, as something, you know, that is wasted. It's never wasted. You know, in the book of Revelation, we see in many places here first in Revelation chapter 5, you know, we see when the Lamb took the book and began to, you know, proceed to open it. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Well, that's praising the Lord. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So those prayers, they are right there. They're coming up before God. And even these 24 elders, you know, who are there to bear witness to, you know, God's consistency and faithfulness throughout the ages, they have these golden vials and prayers of the saints are right there. We see this also in Revelation chapter 8. You know, I mean, this is the story of when Christ had opened the seventh seal and there was silence in heaven about half an hour. Then he said, I saw seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. You know, they were ready to blow, you know. And another angel, was a different one, different from those seven angels. It was a kind of angel. He had, you know, it was a different kind. Had a golden censer that was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar that was before the throne. Now, our prayers always coming up before God. And I believe Christ was, hidden here, couched in this role here. Because angels don't really have the role of offering prayers. You know, it's got to be somebody like us, you know. So I think Christ was secretly hidden here among the angels. You know, he had this priestly role of offering the prayers of the saints. But nevertheless, they see the prayers of the saints always coming up before God. You know, so these prayers that you pray, They never go to waste. Even if you don't see the result right away, keep on praying and keep on believing God. And sometimes you got to really pray. You can't just, you know, say one or two words of prayer. Sometimes you got to really pray. You got to strap on, you know, girdle of prayer and get into, you know, sometimes it's a fight. You know, it is a fight. It's a duel. You know, I mean, it's like, look, you know, I'm not going to give an inch. The devil is the one that's coming into my territory, and he's going to have to pack his things and move. You know, sometimes it may be a health situation that we are facing. You know, I believe with all my heart that no matter how bad the situation is, if we can truly get in with prayer, the Lord will answer, because he said, look, he will answer us speedily. You know, though he bear long, you know, sometimes we don't know the reason why. I mean, why is it that, you know, I mean, when we pray, why is it that God just doesn't answer right away the very first minute that we pray all the time? Well, sometimes he does. Sometimes it doesn't happen like quite like that. But either way, you know, sometimes, you know, God will, you know, want to see you grind it out. And there may be some other things that God is working out, which we don't know. You know, that's his, you know, that's up to him what he, you know, how he does it. What, you know, ours is we must not give in. We must be unyielding. We must pray fervently. We must give the Lord no rest until we see what we are believing God for. Anything and any sphere of prayer that we want to pray. So right now, you know, I've given enough about that. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I want you, you know, to pray. We're going to pray for ourselves. We're also going to pray for one another in this room today. And if you have a prayer request, go ahead, put it in the chat room, you know, and if you want to come into up on the stage so that your voice may be heard, you know, put your hand up. We'll come up here in prayer right now. Glory to God. Father, I thank you as we go into this hour of prayer. Let your people strap on the girdle of prayer, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to get ready. Well, in the next half hour or so, we are going to be praying. We are going to be praying. You know, so I want you to come and join us up here. If you are a prayer warrior, everybody really should be a prayer warrior. People, we use that title and it makes people feel good that they are prayer warriors. There is no such thing, really. We all should be prayer warriors. You know, come on and let's pray together. Glory to God. You've seen a widow woman who prayed all her life and how God rewarded her. You've seen Cornelius, who didn't know too much about the Lord, you know, Gentile, Roman centurion and all of that, you know, but he prayed all the time, you know, and seen how God rewarded him. You've seen others, how they prayed through, you know, so come on and let us pray. We are going to lift up our voices today. And I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your situation. You know, pray for your friends. Pray for people in this room. You know, you look to the left. You look to the right. You look to the top. You look to the bottom. You know, look at somebody. You know, look on the screen and see the people that are here. You know, pray for yourself and pray for them as well. You know, we want to do an old-fashioned prayer meeting right now, right here. And I tell you why. Because the Lord has seen it. The eye of the eagle has seen what's coming. It may be today that the devil is, you know, crouching like a viper waiting to strike. It may be tomorrow. It may be whatever. But it's, you know, I guarantee you, you know, the devil is right around the corner. You know, because when God calls for these things, there's a reason for it. But the Lord, he knows how to, I mean, he's always many steps ahead of the devil. We just got to follow his leading. Hallelujah. You know, so it's our hour of prayer. Now, you may not want to come to the stage, but you may have a prayer request. You can also put it, you know, in the chat room, you know, through the Lord, you know, and let me say, you know, one of these things also that I like is in Job chapter 14, you know, verses 7 through 9. I love it. It's like, look, no matter what's going on, no matter when something looks dead, you know, that scripture says there is hope of a tree. You know, if it be cut down, die, the root is rotting and everything, yet through the scent of water, that scent of water is from prayer. You know, the scent of water comes from your prayer. You can revive anything that is dead or dying, you know, through your prayer. Through the scent of water, it says, according to Job chapter 14, that that tree that is dying or dead will come back alive again. And so that's what we're going to do. Are there dead things here in the room today? Or maybe even dead dreams, you know, maybe dead dreams, dead hopes or whatever. I mean, you've been praying hope that is long deferred, makes the heart weary. People are weary now because they've been praying, but this thing doesn't seem to come to pass. Jesus said, hang in there. Hold on a little longer. Pray a little more. You know, don't give in. Don't give the Lord any rest because he's going to hear you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those who have come to the stage to join us. San Veronica, my wife is already there. Sister Chichilayo, God bless you. Thank you for coming to the stage. We are going to begin to go into prayers. The rest of you that may be in the audience, join us in prayer. We are going to pray. If you know anything that you need prayer for today, you know, praying for yourself, you know, praying for others, let's do it. Hallelujah. We talked about a priesthood the last few days. You know, a priest is one of those, one of their roles also is prayers. Prayers, standing in the gap for others, standing for yourself as well. So we're going into prayers right now. Let's begin to pray. Those of you who are on stage, you can open your mic. We're in prayer session right now.